All right. Well, we are on the same handout that you had last week, going through the categories of the spiritual gifts. And last week, we went through the ministry gifts. Went a little bit swift, I know that. It was kind of quick going through them. So if you've got questions, feel free to ask me, and we can chat about them on the side. But we did want to go through the ministry gifts and just kind of a brief review. The ministries comes from the 1 Corinthians 12:5 when it says, and there are diversities of administrations, and so that ministry is that center word, service. And so these are places within the body, within the church, that can be of service. And so we went through apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors, teachers, helps, and governments. Apostles having fulfilled a period of time, and there's no succession from them, and so we don't have apostles today, but we certainly have people who have the gift of prophecy, which we'll discuss more, but and then certainly have pastors and teachers, and those who help. Helps is all the services, all the things that are done within the church, all the different ways to help out the church body. And then also governments, those who can take charge and lead things, and because you need leaders in every area, you know, from little things, big things, you need people who can step up and take charge and run with it. Within the body. So those were the ministry gifts. So today, and first, I also want to recall that our closing point was remember the primary work of the Holy Spirit, and that is to always point towards Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit points towards Jesus Christ. So anytime we get into ministry and we realize that Jesus Christ is not being exalted, we're not pointing him out, we're not pointing people towards Jesus Christ, we need to stop and go, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? Because if it's not about Jesus Christ, then it's like the body running around headless, right? The body of Christ is a picture of the human body is a picture of the body of Christ, and Jesus is the head. So if you lose your head, I mean, literally, you're running around like a chicken with its head cut off, and it doesn't work. It's chaotic. So you must always be pointing towards Jesus Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So as we learn more about the gifting of the Holy Spirit, remember why he's doing what he's doing. He's pointing us towards Jesus Christ. And let's move into the works, the manifestation gifts. The manifestation gifts. And this comes from 1 Corinthians 12:6, where we see, and there are diversities of operations. Diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So the Scriptures do not allow us to miss the reason for why we have gifts. And the gifts are to profit withal, referring to within the body of Christ, within the church. So these manifestations is this outworking. You know, what is the Spirit doing? And we understand these to be special. Sometimes it's just times. It may not be consistent all the way through. And some of the early ones included some of the temporary gifts of like healing and miracles. And it doesn't mean that these people were just doing them nonstop, but they were at the appropriate time in order to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and to lead people towards Christ. They were given. So, but all of these are given for that very purpose to exalt Christ. Now, as we go through here, I believe that there's a combination of things that were temporary gifts. But then there's things that the Holy Spirit, because of consistency, and God didn't change, right? He works in different ways at different times, but he's still the same. And so I think we can still learn a lot from these things that may have at one point been temporary for the purpose of getting those early churches started, that we can still see how the Holy Spirit might be using a very similar type work today. So let's look at the list in 1 Corinthians 12 as we start in verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. As he will. So let's take a look at the words of wisdom. And again, part of this is, part of these were things much like prophecy, the foretelling that because there was not the written word of God, that God empowered people to speak new revelation from God, new words of wisdom, new words of knowledge that were going to be written down and become our canon of Scripture, that which is perfect is to come. And so we have that which is perfect, so we don't need people to be speaking things that are not known. But we have a lot of word that's already been given to us that we can still share with others. So to have a word of wisdom doesn't mean that we've gotten some new special revelation from the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit can use the Scriptures that have been hidden in our hearts to now turn around and share with others. I think that's an appropriate application of the word of wisdom. So wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective and then responding appropriately. You know, there's knowledge, information, but then wisdom is how do you apply that knowledge? How do you put it into practice every day? And so when it comes to the Scriptures, you have to take the knowledge. A lot of people can read and understand words, but then to be able to apply it such that it accomplishes that which is intended to be. So how do we exalt Christ? By applying the Scriptures in the proper way at the proper time. So the whole concept of counseling, you know, what is counseling about? I think proper biblical counseling is when you can take the Word of God, open it up, and help people understand how it applies to that situation that you're working with. You know, if folks are having trouble with finances, well, you open up the Word of God and show them the scriptural principles, share with them the wisdom of God, and then that applied in their life can now bring them to a point so that they're walking in harmony with the Scriptures, in harmony with the Lord. So I believe the Holy Spirit will use the hiding of God's Word in our heart to now turn around and give us words of wisdom as we need them to share with others. So one of the roots there, or one of the foundational principles there is studying the Word of God, knowing the Word of God. I do not believe that those who have never read the Word of God or who don't study the Word of God are going to get a word from the Holy Spirit and all of a sudden they're just going to be sharing Scripture. I think that comes from us learning the Scriptures as we're supposed to, study to show thyself approved, and then in those moments, as we've purposed to meditate on His Word, it's hidden in our heart, then the Holy Spirit has all these tools to turn around and share it. All right, so that's why I see the word of wisdom as we would see it applied today. Oh, and by the way, if you need some words of wisdom, go study Proverbs. Proverbs has so much that applies to our everyday life. It's just so full and so rich. And then the challenge we took on as we worked through that in our home through the years is also saying, where can you see Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is wisdom. And so as you read through Proverbs, don't think it's just some Old Testament scriptures that some wise man sat down and wrote smart things. There's a lot of folks throughout the ages who have written Proverbs, if you will. But these are not anybody's Proverbs. These are from the Lord. We believe these to be inspired by the Holy Spirit like the rest of Scripture. And so when you read these, it's like there's something more to it. I mean, they will teach you about finances. They will teach you about family. They will teach you about children and relationships. They'll teach you about all kinds of stuff. Morality, boy, the first several chapters are all about how to keep being moral and living godly standards. So words of wisdom, study the Scriptures so that you can have words of wisdom for others as you have the opportunity. In verse 14, we were in 1 Corinthians 12. Let me get back there. We hear about the word of knowledge as well. Here we go. Chapter 12. Let's see. So in verse 8, we see, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. One thing that we bring up is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And from Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You want to know things, you want to have understanding, then we need to start off by fearing the Lord. We walk in before Him with beyond reverence. It's that true fear, that acknowledgement that this is the Lord God that not only created us, not only that gives us the daily life and breath, but is also responsible for our final judgment. And if we are walking in sin, there's every reason to fear, like tremble. We have reason to fear and tremble. If we're walking in the right relationship with Him, it's a tremendous respect, a reverence. But again, it's that that perspective of walking in holiness before an almighty God. So a word of knowledge. And so we also learn from 1 Corinthians 2:14, that's where I was referencing, that the word of God is spiritually discerned. We've shared that verse often. It's spiritually discerned. So we can't even understand the basic truths as we read through the scriptures without the Holy Spirit moving and working in us. Now, there are some who are in, whether through ministry gift, pastors, teachers, through the motivational gifts of being a teacher who loves diving in, studying, learning these great truths and digging things out and pulling information together, then you need a word of knowledge. You need to have that understanding that only the Holy Spirit can give. Anyone can pick up the Bible and read a verse, but then there's those who, through study, through, I think, gifting of the Holy Spirit, can just now properly discern the right way to understand the words we're reading. And so I think it's very real that this word of wisdom, word of knowledge, it's the Holy Spirit moving and working through us, using the Holy Scriptures that we've been given, that were preserved for us, and then allowing us to turn around and use that understanding, that knowledge, and that wisdom to share it with others within the body of Christ for the ultimate purpose of pointing people towards the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a nice puzzle that fits together well, I do believe. Faith, then it says to another, faith by the same Spirit. Well, faith is a very large topic, and you go on for a long time just looking at faith. But we have a wonderful summary of the gift of faith in Hebrews 11, do we not? Let's look at Hebrews 11 briefly, and we'll not do an exhaustive study here. But just from the perspective of it being a spiritual gift. Now, we start out in Hebrews 11 with a couple of principles of faith. And in verse 6, we see, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Please who? Please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, we learn from Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There, the faith we're referring to is that saving faith, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here in Hebrews, it's the same thing. We have to believe that he is one. He is God. Well, as you believe he is God, and then you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came, then it all continues down to believing that Jesus Christ also died for our sins, because we could not. And so once we believe the full picture of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for our sins, buried, raised up to new life, given us victory over sin and death, and then those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. So that faith not only is a work of the Holy Spirit at salvation, then we look at faith as it gives us the reason, a hope for living, the things that will motivate us to do things for God that's above us. You know, there are things that we do at times when, for all human mindset is of our own strength, if you will. That could be questioned in that, do we have any strength apart from God? But I think you understand what I mean. We can do a lot in the flesh, you know, just because of the way God's made us and gifted us, we can do a lot in the flesh. But there's a lot of things that you just are not going to accomplish them without faith. And you just have to step out. There's God calls people to a full-time ministry work. Well, I believe it's probably true that nobody sees the full picture at that point, but they know what they're supposed to do, and they just need that next step. And sometimes that next step is you're vocalizing it, so now others know, and so there's an acknowledgement, you know, acceptance, if you will. But then there's just that stepping out and doing what you know to do next. There's a lot of that in day-to-day life for all of us. Sometimes it may grow weary in just simply reading the Bible every day. Well, if you don't believe that that's truly a God-given responsibility and a God-given gift to do that, and, oh, by the way, it will bear fruits of righteousness from doing so, then you can easily not do it. But you say, but I don't have time. Well, time, you know, who's the author of time? God's the author of time. And we all have the same amount of time, which is kind of a hard truth. But sometimes it takes faith to use your time in a certain way, trusting that God now will work out the details of everything else. Huge schedule, and you go, whoa, what are my priorities? I don't have time to sit and read the Bible this morning. I got to get going. oh wait, maybe I can't afford not to. So you purpose to do that. You purpose to take some time and you pray and you read the Word of God first thing in the morning. And then amazingly, God works things out throughout the day. And then at the end of the day, maybe some things didn't get done. Well, maybe that's indicative that, number one, maybe it didn't need to get done. Maybe it wasn't the right timing. And so it's just that living by faith that can I trust in the Lord to do what I know to do and let Him work through the details. Amen. And that's, you know, and so another place faith comes up, sharing the gospel. Okay, a lot of times, I know, it's like, okay, well, this person, they're not going to accept Christ. I mean, there's no way. Well, that's human reasoning, right? We don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing in a person's life, and so we just obey. And out of faith, we just say, okay, Lord, I'll go knock on this door, I'll speak, I'll hand them a track, you start it, and then let the Holy Spirit do the work. I know there's so many surprises when we start talking to people because you just don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing. So living by faith. And it's easy to look at folks here in Hebrews 11. First of all, of note, the majority of it is Old Testament saints that we're talking about here. Well, again, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so He was working these same type of truths. He gifted people with faith. Now, the Holy Spirit did a different work. You know, they did not have the consistent indwelling Holy Spirit as we have today for the believers in Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit was still alive and working in people. You know, we just see a little bit different perspective of how He filled them at different times. And as we understand, the Spirit could come and go, but the Spirit still had to do that work. You know, you see pictures of people like Gideon. You know, you say, that guy didn't have any faith. Well, he still moved forward. I mean, yeah, it was challenging for him, but according to Hebrews 11, he was still a man of faith. He was still on that list. And he ultimately did what he was supposed to do. Now, others, you see, that just seem to go, I mean, you see David, I mean, he just launches out there and takes on the giant. How did he do that? That wasn't his own strength. He was just a lad. So we see all through the Scriptures the pictures of that. And then it doesn't stop with the Scriptures. We see people day in and day out. Sometimes we want to point towards, well, like our missionaries in certain hard places overseas right now. And some of them, every single day, I mean, they absolutely are walking in faith that they're going to be able to continue the work that they're doing, that they're not going to have their door banged in and arrested. You know, perhaps it'll come to that again today in our land. Strange things are happening. So we have to walk by faith every single day, but just remember that it's a gift of the Holy Spirit that allows us to even do that. And you will see larger efforts if you can. I'm not sure exactly how you measure faith, because Jesus also taught us that the measure, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you know, you can move mountains. So I don't know how to say great faith, little faith, but from our human perspective, there are things that seem to be larger than others. But it's all faith in the same Lord, and He will, as the Scripture said, it's the same God that worketh all in all. So if we stick with understanding of what God is doing throughout history, then He will work it all out. He will manifest it. Something I didn't mention, this when we use the word operations, and I didn't do definitions at the beginning this time, but it is that outward working, and the Greek word is actually energema. Well, guess what the English word is for that? Energy. That sounds, makes sense, and thus, you know, this was interpreted as, translated as operations. Well, that's normal, that's how things happen, that's the energy by which things go about. And so it makes perfect sense. It's that Holy Spirit operating through our life, giving us the very energy that we need to have words of wisdom, have words of knowledge, have faith. So the next one is prophecy, and we've mentioned it several times already. But in short, the temporary gift of prophecy was that foretelling. Those who were able to hear a word from the Lord and proclaim it to others through revelations from the Holy Spirit. Well, now we know that those men wrote those down, and that's why we have the Scriptures that we have today. And then through the wisdom that God has given throughout the ages, it was pulled together in the canon of Scripture that we have now. So that was a foretelling. And then we will cover it in much more detail under the motivational gifts, but we believe there's also a gift of prophecy today, and that's that proclaiming of the truth of God. And we discussed that some last week, and we will discuss it even more next week as we get into the motivational gifts. Discerning of spirits. Again, I don't believe that was just a temporary gift, because let's go to 1 John 4. First John 4 gives some very specific guidance on trying the spirits to see if they are of God. And as the other gifts, there is a place for this in every believer. But I believe at appropriate times, the Holy Spirit gives a special gifting to discern spirits, particularly as it relates to the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edification of the body of Christ. So in 1 John 4, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So we are given the exhortation, the command even, that we are supposed to try the spirits and differentiate between the spirits. Okay, that's no small thing. Do we have that ability just in the flesh to do that? I don't think so. I don't. So here at the end it says, "We hereby know we the spirit," in verse 6, "the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Well, where do we learn truth? Back to the Word of God again. You just can't get away from the Word of God. For a believer not to be in the Word of God is just, it doesn't even make sense. It's illogical for a believer to not be in the Word of God. You cannot live a Christian life without the Word of God. I think it's impossible to do. So if we are in the Word of God, then we're getting rooted and grounded in faith, as we learn in Colossians. Rooted and grounded in faith. Well, why do we need to be rooted and grounded in faith? One, so that we can do what we're supposed to do, right? But then also because we're going to differentiate between what we hear out here in the world, what's between truth and error. Well, that's trying the spirits. You know, there's a spirit of this, a spirit of this. And so there are spirits around us, the devil and the devils, and so they are constantly trying to flood our minds with all kinds of lies and false truths. And we said way back, you know, in the scriptures, it's the same thing. Nothing has changed. The devil's still strong and working. He still has free reign to do things, well, as far as God will allow him. But he still is free to work on this earth. And so while he is, we will constantly be confronted with lies. And so we have to be prepared to confront the lies. And the best way to confront a lie is to know the truth. And so the more we know the truth, the more we're able to discern the spirits. Once again, as we've purposed to do our part in learning the scriptures, and that's through hearing them preached, hearing them taught, reading them ourselves, studying them out, memorizing, meditating on them, then we will have a firm grasp on the scriptures. And then so as we know truth, then when the lies come, we'll go, nope. You know, the same concept of, okay, a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door. You know, it's just as quick as you hear them start talking, if you know the truth, it's going to go, something's not right here. Yeah. And then you just say, So even if you don't know completely, even if you don't feel you can address them, then you just say, no, thank you, I'm not interested. And you turn them away. If you know the scriptures and you can help them see the scriptures, some can, then go for it, you know. Preach the truth to them, but just be careful because you have to discern those spirits. There's many other areas of discerning the spirits. I mean, there's just some things that are satanic. There are. I mean, there's just a lot of satanic stuff around us. Things, well, some of the obvious things like Ouija boards and a lot of these online gaming things where you take on alternate personalities and alternate powers. I'm telling you, those are very dangerous things. And there's a lot of that stuff out there. And there's a lot of Christians who are very wrapped up in it. And I think that's very, very dangerous because you're just failing to discern the truth. One great way to help, whether children or adults, you say, well, can I do this? Well, let's stop and say, does it help me be part of perfecting the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edification of the body of Christ? I mean, I think that's a good place to start. I mean, there's a lot of other scripture you can use too, but if you just stick with that, as a believer, you got to be part of the body of Christ. You got to be part of a church. That's the way God designed it. He gave us, the Holy Spirit has gifted us with gifts. He gives each person at least one, you know, motivational gift, and then other gifts as he sees fit for the profit of all. And then he puts them in churches so that the church can now accomplish the work that God has given us to do. So if you're trying to evaluate whether any activity is worthwhile, then you say, well, is that helping me accomplish that? Am I being part of the body of Christ? Am I part of perfecting the saints, the work of the ministry, and edification of the body of Christ? And if not, then I think there's every reason to go, time out. Maybe I need to rethink this. Maybe I need to just turn away from it. And even if you don't understand it, there's plenty in life that I don't understand. But because of whatever the reason God's given a prompting, say avoid it, I don't need to know the details. All I need to know is that that's not of God. Leave it alone. Stay away from it. And then you just avoid it. And then when we're busy pouring ourselves into the Word of God, meditating on Scriptures day and night, pouring ourselves into service in the church, we don't have time for those things. Life gets very full, and you just don't have time for them. Well, praise God for that, because there's a lot of things in life that we shouldn't have time for, because they just are not valuable, they're not beneficial, they're not edifying. Leave them alone. Okay, so discerning of the spirits. You can go a lot of other directions on that, but I think that gets the point across. Healing. Again, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but more along tongues, but it's the same idea on the healing. I believe that under the apostolic ministry there, they were given the gifts of healing, and like Peter, you know, they were even given a piece of clothing or his handkerchief, you know, and if you could just touch that, you know, someone came and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. I mean, Jesus gave that example very clearly. There was healing. We know that God is the healer. You know, that's all through the scriptures. We see that he is responsible for healing. And he chose to give special sign gifts primarily to the Jews so that they would believe that this truly was of God. And then we see that carried on for some period of time, and I can't tell you exactly when this perfect cutoff that everything stopped, but essentially when that which was perfect was come, you didn't need temporary gifts and these certain manifestations. So, do we just ignore this? I mean, it's still scripture, is it not? There's still healing all throughout the scripture, so what do we do with that? We go, oh, if God is the author, God is the healer, he is the healer, then when we deal with the need for healing, and that's physical, spiritual, emotional, there's a lot of things that we need healed from, relationships, you know, relationships need healed. So when we need healing, we have to go to God for it. We have to. We see in the scriptures that God uses medicine. Now, the medicine that they had then is not what we have now. So I think we have two different worlds. There's a lot of things that are called medicine today that I think probably ought to be called poison. But nevertheless, we won't go there. The point is that God is the healer, and if we're not pursuing after God for healing of all of those things, then we're missing the source of healing. Isn't it interesting that when we come to the book of James, that we're told that those who are sick are supposed to call for the elders of the church? Interesting. So healing still belongs in the church. I think the church is the picture of Jesus Christ working in and among believers here on earth. And so he is the source of all that. Again, there's different things that could be used. You know, I mean, Hezekiah was healed by a poultice of figs. Okay. There's a lot of things that God can use. And oh, by the way, he has a phenomenal creation out here that prior to 1900-ish, before there was a lot of the pharmaceutical realm, people still used all the natural things around us for the healing. And a lot of folks will still go out there and do that. Well, Satan can distort things just like anything else, and so then all of a sudden you find yourself off into the mystic world. Okay, be careful there. You know, you don't want to get off into the deep end, into the mystical and some of the Eastern stuff. You have to be really careful with, because they tie in the spiritualism along with something that's very practical and healthy from the natural world. again, that's not the point of today, but the point is that God is the source of healing, and so if we're not going to him, then we're not going to be healed. So does God still heal today? Well, praise God, we're all here. I mean, every single one of us have been ill or injured or something throughout our lives, have we not? Of course. Many of us have had broken bones, and you know, Dr. Samuel's here with us this morning, and boy, every day of his life, I mean, you could say he's healing. Well, okay, it's not necessarily that he touches them, boom, they're healed, like we see in the New Testament, but God is the healer, and he uses people whose hands have been trained and gifted to do that work. So there's a lot of things that can be done if we would look to the Lord for it. And I know it's much easier to just look for, you know, the clinic and the urgent care, and there's a place for those things. I'm not saying there's not, but I think we're too quick to look there and too slow to look toward the Lord. So that's so healing. I believe there's a work of healing still today, but it's not the same as what we saw here in the early church. And of course, there's obviously those who I think tremendously misuse and abuse this gift or this former gift, and by all these meetings and all this show and pomp and tons of money. And I think that's discerning the spirits. That's a work of Satan, not of God. Miracles, same thing. There are those who believe that certain individuals must work miracles so that they can become popes and things of that nature. And I'm sorry, I cannot buy into that. I don't see that as scripture. Again, I believe this is one of the temporary gifts that was given to the early church. It was given to the apostles particularly, and there God does miracles. Does God do miracles today? Of course he does miracles, but I do not believe that an individual has the spiritual gift now that they can just walk around in purpose to, let me go do miracles, let me go change this, let me do this, let me call down fire from heaven and things of that nature. Can we cry out to God and see something happen supernaturally? Yeah. If it's part of perfecting the saints, work of the ministry, and the edification of the body of Christ. If it's out of that context, there's probably something that's not right. You have huge reason to question that. But the miracles, again, answers to prayer, God answers prayers. God heals people miraculously. God, I recognize it's stories, but there's a lot of things that have happened that cannot be explained other than supernatural. We talked several weeks back about the work that God did in a number of our wars as a nation, where he would just roll in fog totally contrary to any other weather pattern and only for a specific time to accomplish a great work that needed to be done. That's a miracle. That's a supernatural thing that happens that's for the purpose of accomplishing God's will. Another example, we've heard many, many stories. Pastor shared some. You know, there's stories of people getting Bibles across borders that are closed to the Bible. The number of stories you can hear about people who, through one reason or another, and it happens in a bunch of different ways, but somehow those Bibles get across that border without being seen by those guards who are looking for them. No other explanation but the hand of God, closing someone's eyes, blinding them, things like that. God still works miracles. I am absolutely confident of that. So I have no problem believing miracles. Then we just have to be careful, again, discern the spirits. Where are they coming from? What's the context? How are they being used? And then we already spoke quite a bit, so we won't go into a lot of detail now on the tongues because we did cover that earlier. But again, that was a early sign gift. It was speaking a known language to some, but not the speaker. And so it's on the day of Pentecost, we see it initiated and explained very well that this was a known language. It wasn't some new spiritual language, if you will. It was some known language that people could understand when spoken by someone who didn't know that language. And so that's a gifting of the Holy Spirit for that to happen. And then it was greatly abused even early on in the church at Corinth. And so there's a whole chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14, that gives guidance and the proper use of it. And if we would follow those, then you probably will. If we were following that guidance, you really would not see what you see in the world today in a lot of Pentecostal movements of what they call tongues. All right? And let's see here. So again, that's kind of completes the list of the manifestation gifts. So again, it's that outworking, that energy of the Holy Spirit moving and working in his people at specific times for specific reasons. And it always is going to point back towards the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not, if it's giving glory to man, then it's an error. Even if it is God's work. Because sometimes we steal God's glory.
Amen.
And it may very well be his work. But now if we accept credit for it and take the glory, then that's wrong. That's pride. And God hates pride. Amen. He hates it tremendously. We quench his work. Let's back up. Unfortunately, we have misused and misidentified a lot of the glorious work of the Holy Spirit, such that we fear allowing him to work. So that was my point here, is that these list of manifestation gifts, we steer away from. We shy away from them because they have been misused, they've been abused so much that we just want to say, I don't want to have any part of it. Even to the point of a lot of Christians will say, supernatural? No. Nothing supernatural. Whoa. You just squelched God. It's like, how can you stop God from working? He is supernatural. he's the very creator of the universe. If he can make the sun stand still, if he can make a whole ocean, you know, the sea spread and go to dry land, you know, millions of people cross over in dry land, God is not hindered by the creation that he made. Gravity doesn't impact God. He created it, and he can defy gravity, if you will. You know, all those type of things. God is not subject to his creation. He is the creator. So the point being here is, let's not quench the Holy Spirit or stop him from, or even grieve him by saying, no, the Holy Spirit has no place. It has no work. And that's just not true. We don't want to go down the wrong paths. We want to discern the spirits properly, but we don't want to stop the Holy Spirit from doing the work he was sent to do. So I think that's the encouraging thing about going back and studying these, to get the proper biblical understanding of them, so that we don't have to be afraid of the work of the Holy Spirit, but we need to use it properly. Hopefully that's coming across the way it's intended. I do want to make a comment about the, I'm sorry, I'm shifting gears here. The comment about the survey that we did a couple weeks ago, I've had folks question, are you going to hand it back out? Not yet. And let me explain why. A survey, that's not a, you know, we didn't get this list from the Bible that says, oh, if you check all these blocks, then therefore you have this gift. No. Hopefully you've picked up, as we've studied the gifts so far, number one, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. They need to be spiritually discerned. By understanding them, as we're doing, going through the studying them, then the Holy Spirit can start speaking to us and showing us, oh, well, this is kind of the way we're put together. That survey, put together by people over time, and modified by various people for applications, it's a tool. And I think once we study them, and then we can go through them in a proper form, it could be used to help us think. That's all it's used for, is to help us think through the process for the things that we're learning in the Scripture. To take it and just say, well, if you answered 11 of these yes, then therefore you must have this gift. No, that is it's not that simple, and I do not want to portray it that way. And so the reason for doing it up front was to do it trying to get people's first thoughts, because it's if you overthink things, then you can lead yourself down different paths. But then we'll probably redo it towards the end and say, now that we have a better understanding of the gifts, now let me walk through them and see if I can discern, use it as a tool to just help me guide through the truths that we've learned to help point me in a certain direction. Now, just some feedback, I'll tell you. There were some who filled it out that probably circled over 90% of the items. That's an unhelpful survey, right? I mean, if you circle them all, then... And so what it reveals, though, is the way we think through surveys, and this is true of any survey, by the way, you know, sometimes you try to outthink, why was this question asked? You know, where was this going? What's it leading me towards? Is this a trick? None of them are tricks. That was not the point at all. But the point is to what motivates us? What drives us? What is the Holy Spirit doing in our lives that we are that way because he's gifted us that way? Not because, well, I know that's from the Scriptures, and so I ought to be that way, so circle that. Well, that doesn't mean you are. It's like, just because we believe it's Scripture. Or, I would like to be this way. Well, that's nice too, but that doesn't mean you are. And that's another reason that sometimes it's helpful for either a close friend, a spouse, you know, to take a look at your answers and go, no, no, nice thought, no. it's kind of revealing, but remember, sometimes we can learn the truth of how we're put together by seeing some ways that we misuse it. And we will get into that, and I'm just going to give you one example because this is leading into the first one of the motivational gifts, and the first one we'll study is prophecy because that's the first one that comes in the list. And again, if you've gone back and listened to pastors' messages on those, then you will hear this a similar thing. So part of the focus of a gift of prophecy is proclaiming truth. Truth is very, very important. Amen. Well, don't we all agree that truth is important? Yeah. But for some reason, God's given some people it's just a phenomenal drive, and you just absolutely, truth must be expressed in truth, and you cannot, there's no room for error. Okay, so human nature, what could that lead to? That could lead to extreme harshness, no tolerance, no forgiveness, no mercy, you know, because it's like, hey, if it's not truth, nothing to do with you. You're gone. Cut you off. Right? That's just human nature. Well, what if we started answering some of those questions, or we start going through all this and we think, well, that is kind of the way I am. Well, that could just mean that you've got this spiritual gift, but we're not applying the rest of Scripture. So we're being very focused on one aspect, but we're not balancing it with 1 Corinthians 13, which is why we shared that earlier. It's foundational. You can't use God's gifting and talents that you have without 1 Corinthians 13. It's meaningless. It's empty. It's worthless. So we have to be balanced. That does not mean that we will not have the strengths, because God did give us the strengths. And so we need people who are very firm on truth and can quickly point out error. Some people can see error just like that. Others don't. I just think we're built different. And so that's why we need the body. Which, by the way, it would be very interesting, but according to the numbers on the survey, 85% of us are prophets and servers. Something tells me that might not be true. It could just be the way we answer questions. There's a lot of thoughts about that, but chances are it's probably not true. And why would I say that? Well, because I believe that the Holy Spirit does bring the diversity of gifts and the differences of gifts for the purpose of the body. Now, it could be that a body is out of whack for various reasons, but it's probably that maybe we don't understand some of the other gifts. And maybe in going through this, we'll have a better understanding, and maybe we can see that, well, maybe I am more gifted along this line, and maybe I need to start practicing that more to watch the Holy Spirit use it in my life. Again, we mentioned this last week, I think. Maybe we didn't. If not, it's in my notes for next week. How do you learn your spiritual gift? Well, one is spiritually discerned, so you study them. Learn what they are, for one. And then you practice. Practice meaning serve. Serve in the church. Be busy about doing the Lord's work. In being busy about doing the Lord's work, you will find some things that just seem to be the natural fit, and you'll find things that, boy, this is hard. But even there, you have to discern. Is this hard because I'm selfish? Well, yeah, if I'm selfish, a lot of things are hard. Because if it's not benefiting me, then I don't want to have any part of it. The Holy Spirit can use a lot of things in our lives to help us point. And then as others in the body help guide us, talking to the pastor, talking to other people, the Holy Spirit can use the body to mutually edify, because that's what we're here for. So we will continue to talk about that. I'll say that over and over because I do not want anyone to think that there's some way you can just go down a checklist and say, boom, there's my gift. Because it doesn't work that way. That make sense? All right, well, thank you for your attention. Thank you, Lord, for your grace again today. Thank you for your precious word of God that opens up our eyes to understanding. And, Lord, I do pray that you would give us words of wisdom and words of knowledge and perfect understanding so that we can then practice and do the work that you've given us to do. Lord, that is our desire, is that we would be busy about your work. Lord, would you do that even today? As we hear the preaching and singing and fellowship one with another. And Lord, just that we look forward to seeing what you're going to do. Would you bring people in today? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.